Well, if you have your Bible this morning, would you join me in the book of Psalms? Right around the middle of your Bible there, Psalms 138, the 138th Psalm. On the back of your bulletin, there is a place to write down scripture references, any notes that you might want to take with you today, and just encourage you to do that. For those of you, if you've never filled out one of our welcome cards there in front of you, we use those for prayer requests. You can ask questions or praises. If you've never filled out one, if you'd be willing to give me your name and address, I would like to send you a thank you letter this week. You can just fill it out, hand it to me after the service, or hand it to the greeter on your way out, whichever you prefer. And again, if you have prayer requests, please write them, give them to me. If you have a praise, I'd love to rejoice with you as well. Psalms 138, let me get there myself, and then we'll make our confession together. Psalms 138, and really centering on the first two verses there. And once you get your hands free, if you would join me in making this confession, the words will be on the screen. If you agree, we invite you to say it with us. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you. Psalms 138, beginning in verse 1. David wrote these words, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, little g, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name. Some of your translations may, where it says praise your name, may say give thanks. It's translated both ways, praise or give thanks. So he says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name or give thanks to your name for your loving kindness, your constant love, and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all else. Or as it's also translated, you have magnified your word and your name above all else. This morning, I'd like to just center in on that verse 2, where it says, I will praise you or I will give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and truth. This is the message this morning. I hope that you will make it from your own heart as a personal declaration to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love and truth. Thank you, Lord, for your love and truth. Thank God for his unconditional love, his constant love, faithful love is how it's also interpreted. And thank God for his truth. And when I speak of his truth, I'm speaking of the inspired, written word of God. I was just hearing as I was getting ready this morning, actually, I guess it was a message I heard. I was getting ready, had the TV on, and talking about maybe a recent Gallup poll, how many people believe in heaven. More people believe in heaven, the more believe in hell, and so forth. Even those who are considered nuns who don't claim any particular religious affiliation or support. And I was thinking about this week as I was preparing for the message of how probably, maybe along that line, more people would say, I believe God loves me than would say, I believe the Bible is the inspired written word of God. I haven't conducted any polls. I'm just thinking that more people would say, I believe God loves me. Do you believe the Bible is his inspired written word? Well, no, I don't believe that. But here's the kind of the contradiction. The reason we know about the love of God is because it's written in his inspired word. And see, the Bible, God revealed himself to us in his word. And he revealed his holiness. He revealed our sin that separates us from this holy God. But he also revealed his great love for us and how he demonstrated his love, the scripture says, by sending his own son to die on the cross. Jesus suffered and died on the cross to pay for our sins, to bear the judgment of God against our sins. 3 days later, we have the testimony of Scripture that he came back to life. He arose from the grave, and we have the assurance of the Word of God that if we simply respond to the drawing of God's Holy Spirit and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, then we are forgiven. His Holy Spirit indwells us, and every blessing that's in Christ is ours. And we know those blessings because God revealed them in his Word. So thank you, Lord, for your love and your truth. This morning, I want to share a third message out of four, Lord willing, of this little series on worship. Just real quick, the first two messages, the first message out of the book of Revelation of why we worship only God. Now, we applaud people, we can thank people, we honor people, but we worship only God. And so two reasons there. Then last week, we focused on the manifest presence of God. There's a difference between God's omnipresence, where his spirit is everywhere, and his manifest presence, where we might say God shows up. And we looked at three of those blessings. And just so that so you're aware, I'll give you the website real quick. For those of you, if you're here, I know many of you might have been out of town last week. For those of you joining, all of the messages we post on the website. But these two messages, I actually put my sermon notes on the website as well. So if you want to see them, it's up to you. I just want to make the resource available to you. So let me give you the website real quick. It's just the initials of the church, CLM Family. It's in your bulletin there, CLMFAMILY.org. And so the two weeks ago, worship only God. And then last week, enter his presence with thanksgiving. Now, would you look back at this Psalm 138, verse 1? Again, David says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name. And I wanted to just to emphasize that David said, I will do it. We choose to worship God or not. So David made a choice. And I want to ask you today to choose to worship, to choose to give thanks to the Lord. And I know you already have. That's part of why you're here. And as we mentioned, it was a blessing. I know it honored and blessed the heart of God to hear the praises of his people this morning, lifting him up with one accord. So to worship him, to choose to worship, just a real simple definition of worship, even though it's expressed in many ways, if we come down to the heart of it, worship means to honor, to love, and to revere. So it's to honor God, to love God, and then to revere God, and how that may be expressed in Scripture. There are various different expressions. But see, if we worship God for who he is first, now we worship him and thank him for what he does also, but if we worship God for who he is, then our worship, in other words, our honor, our love, our reverence to God is not controlled by our difficult circumstances. If we worship God first for who he is, then our worship, our honor, love, and reverence for God is not controlled by our ever-changing emotions. And if we worship God for who he is first, then our worship is not controlled by our limited human understanding. Because even though I don't understand it, and even though it's difficult and it hurts, and I may be doing it through tears, God is still God, and he is still worthy of my worship and praise. And in the worst of times, I thank God for his love and his truth. Because the truth reveals that I'm not going through it alone, but that he will never leave me nor forsake me. He's for me, he's not against me, and through him he's made us more than conquerors. Through him who loved us. So we thank God. Let me just give you this scripture. If you want to turn, I'm going to read it to you from Psalm 69:30. Psalm 69 and verse 30. Just one scripture or one verse in this psalm. He says this, and let me, if you want to write this down, just two lines that I'd like to maybe give you today to get in our hearts and to live by. That's ultimately what God gives us truth for, not just to learn, but to learn and live. And this is the first truth based on this scripture, if you want to write it down, that worship affects our focus. Worship affects our focus. As I said a moment ago, worship is expressed in various ways, but true worship, worship in spirit and in truth, always focuses on God and always glorifies Him. If I'm doing something that's somehow not glorifying God, that's not a true expression of worship. So worship focuses on God and glorifies Him, and our worship affects our focus. Notice what the Bible says in Psalm 69:30. Again, the psalmist said, I will praise the name of God with a song, and please notice, and will magnify Him. Would you say magnify? Amen. Would magnify Him how? With thanksgiving. Now, for the record, we can't make God any larger. But we sure can magnify Him over obstacles. We can magnify Him over the devil. We can magnify Him over our battles and struggles and emotions. And the Bible says we magnify Him with thanksgiving. That's an expression of faith in God. It's an expression of reverence and honor for Him because we really believe He's greater. Now, I know it's, I think you all know this, right? What we focus on grows. Y'all ever eaten something, the more you chewed it, the larger it got in your mouth? What we focus on at least seems to grow because we're magnified. We're dwelling on it. We're talking about it. Usually we revolve it over in our heads. Sometimes we share it with others. And so to thank the Lord, to magnify Him over our, I really believe one of the blessings of worship, and I look forward to it, we come together, is there are so many distractions in our world, so many things to get our attention, to grab our affection, and to bring us down, to distract us, discourage us, divide us, defeat us. And it helps me to come together in worship because it gets my focus back where it needs to be, onto Jesus and exalting Him, the one who is worthy to be praised and who is over it all. Thank you, Lord, for your love and truth. And so if the devil, he wants to distract us, so he gets not only our attention, but our affection. And that's what worship is. We give God our attention, but we also give the Lord our affection and come before Him with this way. So we magnify Him. I believe if we live this out, we'll discover that if we lift our focus up to Jesus and worship Him and magnify Him with thanksgiving, He will lift us up. And it will be an encouragement to us. So this first principle here is that worship affects our focus. And then the second one, again, if you want to write it down, is that our focus affects our perspective. And let me give you the, I'm going to turn to the New Testament here and read these two verses or three verses to you. So worship affects our focus, and then our focus affects our perspective. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Before I read these verses, I looked up the definition of perspective. It basically, just keep it simple, it's just our outlook. But it's actually goes into more depth in the dictionary that it's a view that is based on something that's right and true. So our perspective, accurate or not, is our reality. How is it that someone, you know what anorexia is? Like if someone has, you know, how is it that someone who could be dangerously thin could see themselves as being overweight? It's not true, but it's their truth, it's their perspective, and they live it out. So our perspective is our reality, and God's word is what gives us a true perspective or outlook on life. Would you look at 2 Corinthians 4:16? It's on the screen here. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Would you say those words with me? Therefore, we do not lose heart. God doesn't want us to lose heart, does He? And I'll be honest with you. I go through my little seasons of sometimes just discouragement, depression, even sometimes just feeling a heaviness. I don't know if you ever feel like a heaviness in your heart. I was even this morning, a little bit earlier, feeling it and in my car coming to church. And I said, Lord, I just want to thank you for a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. So he says, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, and God is not making light or, you know, of anyone's difficult time. The Lord knows we go through hard times in life. He's the healer of the brokenhearted. And he cares, but it's light in comparison if we see the true picture and get a true perspective. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight. It's light compared to the weight, and it's momentary compared to eternity. So he says then in verse 18, while we do not look at the things, and that word is like scopios, it's a focus. We do not focus on the things that are seen. We see them, we acknowledge them, but we don't have to make that our complete focus. But we focus on the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your truth. Would you say that with me? Thank you, Lord, for your love and truth. So if you turn to the New Testament book of John, I'll join you there in just a moment. John chapter 4, if you hold your spot. I know that the Lord wants us to have a true perspective, an eternal perspective based on the truth of his word to encourage us today. We need a scriptural worldview to live out our faith in Jesus in the real world. So it's our perspective. So then worship helps get my focus back onto the Lord. And then my focus helps me to see life from God's perspective and gives me the encouragement and faith I need to keep on going and not lose heart. The Bible says in your light, we see light. It's in the light of his truth that we see life as God wants us to live it. Before I read these verses about Jesus and this woman, he taught truth to about worship and how he changed her. I just wanted to share a quick testimony of one of the devotionals I read. It was a lady named Barbara, and she wrote about how she started having severe panic attacks in her mid-30s. And she was admitted to a psychiatric hospital and diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And so here's her testimony was that she had a great doctor, she got the right medications, and she had a change in her diet that helped to stabilize her system. But she had these two questions. She said, where is God, and what is my role in the healing process? So where's God, and what is my role in the healing process? And this is what she said. She did four things here. She said that she started to become more active in church. She got involved with fellowship and serving the Lord at church. That was the first thing. The second thing is she said she devoured scripture. I like how that was worded. She devoured it. Not just an occasional, I need a verse here or there, but she devoured scripture. The third thing was she said she looked for God everywhere. I shared a message a few weeks ago called Seek and You Will Find, based on the words of Jesus. And isn't it true in life many times we find what we're looking for, good or bad? So she started looking for God. And then the fourth was that she says, I learned to give thanks in all circumstances. She started keeping a gratitude journal. And God delivered her over time, not overnight, but over time, from just like a debilitating fear. And she says, my faith grew, and I sought to love and forgive others and myself more, because love and forgiveness go together. And she says, my soul is more at peace. I said, well, thank the Lord. I mean, she did what she could and trusted God to do the rest. And when I was printing off the little sheets, the take-home page for the children yesterday after we went to the zoo, I noticed today's topic, your children, or at least if they're back in the elementary grades, are learning Jesus forgives his enemies. Jesus forgives when it's hard, so we forgive when it's hard. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your truth, and thank God for that. In John chapter 4, in verse 6, Jesus, we pick up the account here where Jesus is walking. He was with his disciples. They went into the town or village to buy some food. And it says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. That would be about noon, our time. When the Son of God placed himself in a human body, he subjected himself to many of our limitations. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He got tired. Here, he's walking in probably a desert area, dry area. He gets to a well, and he says, sit down and take a break. And so he sits down, and verse 7 says that a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. And the woman of Samaria said to Jesus, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And then I love what Jesus said in verse 10. Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Brother Mark, you mentioned that this morning. you sneak in and look at my notes before I... Verse 11 said, the woman said to Jesus, sir, you have nothing to draw with. This well is deep. Where are you going to get that living water? And Jesus said to her in verse 13, if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus is the gift of God. He is the living water. And we need water to live physically, and we need the living water to live eternally and spiritually. And Jesus is the fountain that never runs dry. And if we believe, then he'll rise up within us a fountain of living water. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love and truth. Then he goes on, because the woman was, she's thinking just in the natural. And the Bible says this in verse 15. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water. I don't have to come here in this hot sun, and I don't have to draw. Let me have that one. Make it convenient for me. And Jesus said, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said to her, that's well said. You're true. You have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I think you're a prophet. I guess so, huh? You ever heard of the phrase, the Lord reading your mail? He was reading the book. And then again, she kind of wanted to try to switch subjects here in verse 20. And she said, our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews say this Jerusalem. And Jesus says this, and this is kind of the theme that I really want to draw on through this whole series today and then one more next week. Verses 23 and 24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, not just churchgoers, not just sermon hearers, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us all things. And then plain, straight up as it could be, verse 26, Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Worship is more about a right heart than the right place. And the Lord can give us a right heart. Now, before we just conclude these last few verses here, I was thinking as I was reading about this Samaritan woman, because she could have not received the truth about God and who Jesus was. She didn't have to receive the truth about who she could be in him and how she could be forgiven and have a new start and a new life. She didn't have to receive his love. She could have said, oh, no, I'm a woman of the, you know, whatever, and I've just been through this and been through that and this heartache. And she could have dwelt on her past. She could have dwelt on the past, but it would have robbed her, and it would have robbed others too. And I was thinking about her at the last breakfast, for those of you who were there. Remember, we were talking about focus, and I shared part of a poem that a lady had written years ago called The Street Girl. Let me just read a part of this, just that the start and the end, and just think about, because as I was preparing for this, I thought, this Samaritan woman could have written this poem, The Street Girl. And this is what how it starts off. She writes, "You don't want to marry me, honey, though just to hear you ask me is sweet. If you did, you'd regret it tomorrow, if I'm only a girl of the street. Time was when I'd gladly have listened before I was tainted with shame. But it wouldn't be fair to you, honey. Men laugh when they mention my name." Then just the last little line says, "You see how it is, don't you, honey? I'd marry you now if I could. I'd go back with you to the country, but I know it won't do any good. For I'm only a poor, branded woman, and I can't get away from the past." See how that Samaritan woman could have said that? "Goodbye, and God bless you for asking, but I'll stick it out now till the last." Sadly, this lady who wrote this poem was killed in a hail of gunfire. And the little program I watched had like a little spiral notebook where she had written some more words, not necessarily part of this poem, but it was still a rhyming little line. And she actually mentioned a scripture in those lines. Part of it said, "The wages of sin is death." But she didn't write the other part, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." And she focused on her past, and all I, you know, of course, I don't know anything at this point about her heart, but that she may have had that truth come up in her heart before the end and say, "The gift of God is eternal life. I can believe, I can receive." And we know her as, we actually know the couple, as Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie Parker wrote The Street Girl. And the Lord's forgiveness is available to us all. Would you look at this in John chapter 4, verse 28? Remember why the woman went to the well? Why did she go to the well? She wanted to get some water, right? She wasn't going during the hot part of the day to socialize. And the women may have gone earlier when it was cooler, but she went in the middle of the day. In verse 28, the Bible says this, "The woman then left her water pot." She had left the water pot. "And she went her way into the city and said to the men, 'Come see a man.'" Y'all remember that little chorus? "He's a man, he's a man, he's a mighty good man." "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ, the Messiah?" And then just to wrap up the account there, verse 39 says this, John 4, 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified." God gave her a new, thank God she received his love and she received his truth, and God used her to reach others just like he'll use us if we're willing. Thank you, Lord, for your love and truth. Would you say that with me? Thank you, Lord, for your love and truth. I want to close with these last two verses if you just want to write them down. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. You know that God created us to worship. It's in our nature. Turn a song on or sing to a little baby or turn some music on to just a little toddler, I mean, young child, and watch them respond. Because it's something programmed into us, I believe, from the Lord. And that's supposed to be directed back to him in worship. We don't have to give a class or 4-week, sermon series for those going to see some popular artist, right? Paying $1,000 to go see somebody. Now, when you get in there, you clap and sing along. No, we don't have to do that. But we do it in church because we want people to worship with understanding. But, you know, it seemed like to me, as the children start becoming a little older and a little more self-conscious, they get a little more restricted. Maybe, let me reword that. We become a little more restricted in our expressions of worship. And again, however it may be expressed, the Lord wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Colossians chapter 3, two verses, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says this: Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How? In all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another. That's so important. In psalms and hymns and singing spiritual songs, singing with grace. That word is also translated gratitude. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Notice it's something we do together. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Singing scripture songs together helps us get the word of Christ in our hearts and to dwell in it richly. We're not just taking up time before we get to the message. We're singing the word and we're worshiping and we're given an opportunity to express our faith in God so that we're all encouraged, we're all built up, and we're getting the word down in us, because if we get it in us, it can come up just like that little 11-year-old boy. No weapon formed against me shall prosper when the time comes. So this morning, I would like to just close with a soul-searching question for you. Is there anything hindering you from receiving the truth of God's word in your heart right now? Is there anything from hindering you in receiving what God says about you, about Himself, about your situation? Is there anything hindering you from receiving the love of God today? And if it is, the Holy Spirit will let you know. Will you give it to Him right now? And just yield it over to Him. Something in your past, the past, or a current situation, would you just give it over to Him? And then receive, not just once, I want to ask you to focus on Jesus and worship Him and develop a lifestyle of receiving the truth of His word. Develop a lifestyle of thanking Him for His truth and thanking Him for His love and worshiping Him with a grateful heart. And I believe if we will do that, God will come in where He's invited and wanted, and He'll bring strength, victory, healing, grace, and peace. If we would just do our part to open up to Him. So can we go to the Lord in prayer right now? Again, just take a moment to say, Lord, is there any barrier, anything hindering me? I don't want it. I want to thank You for Your love. I want to thank You for Your truth. And I want to fully receive today what You have provided for me in Your grace. And Lord, I pray that even as Your Spirit would move across our hearts right now, may You bring healing, grace. Help us to focus on You, to worship You, to bless You, to thank You. To thank You for what You've done, what You're doing, and even what we believe You will yet do. And Lord, help us just to cooperate with Your will. Help us to be obedient to You, empowered by Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.